Hey, you guys are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. Today is, it's Wednesday, and I obviously have forgotten today. It's November 18th, 2009. Yeah, thank you. 2009. We missed last week. We actually started the show, but we didn't finish it.
So bad.
Yeah, it sucked pretty bad.
We're looking out for the listener on that.
Let me put it this way. It was so bad, we wouldn't even show it.
Yeah, and typically the worse it sounds to us, the better it sounds once it's done. But no, not in this case.
Yeah, that was a whole 10 minute of a show, so you know, it was kind of a waste.
It literally lasted like 15 minutes, so we decided not to air it, and we didn't do any Soundwave either last week, so we took a week off. But you know, we're doing that for the other Transformers podcast that have a chance to catch up.
Yeah.
And actually, TF Wire ended last week with Matrix Prime. They've been doing this now for about 5 years, and gave us a little plug. Thank you, Matrix Prime. So you guys go listen to the last episode. It's the last episode, 200. I don't think we've even hit 200 episodes total.
Well, close. We would have if you didn't quit on us several years ago.
That's true.
It's a sabbatical. That's all.
You never live that down.
I will never live that down. But
you can add as long as I'm here.
You in there.
Yeah, true. So on the show this week, we have JD, John DeLuna, Rob, Monzo, and XV.
Oh, screw you.
You'll be first next week, XV. You're on the show tomorrow, the show that doesn't count.
It's just rumored to exist.
It's rumored to exist.
It's very underground.
It is very underground. But on the show this week, we're catching up on the news. We have a review of more Transformers animated episodes with Turin. Do we have a This Day in Transformers History?
No.
You need to dig that up real quick, Grady, while we do the show.
I mean,
what happened today?
Exactly.
Stuff.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yes, we will have that by the time we get to it. we have 2 weeks of Twitter theater. Turin reviews artificial intelligence because it is Transformers related. We have one topic, which is the RTM1 dubs, and we have an interview with our pal Monzo. So guys, in the news this week, or in the last 2 weeks, I guess, power core combiners. We don't have a clue what that is.
I guess one trademarked phrase doesn't tell us a lot. If we see, you know, we see it pop up here and there again in like another cluster of trademarked things, then it gives you an indication. But right now, who knows? They have 3 years to use it if they get the trademark. So
Patrick Stewart on Alt Toys Transformers seems to know. He talked about that. We'll link to that in the show notes. But that just, you know, a little bit of rumor mongering, but our Hasbro insider Patrick Stewart commented on it, so we'll see. He was right about the movie, sort of.
Yeah.
Was he right about the quality of it?
No. He actually said it was going to be really good.
See.
Yeah. Transformers Continuum, which, Rob, you read that. I didn't.
Yeah, I read it. And I think I'm the only one who liked it.
Yeah, most of the comments I saw on it were not incredibly positive.
Yeah, I think it helped that I haven't really been keeping up with All Hell Megatron, or, you know, I read some of the spotlights, but I haven't really read any of the miniseries past halfway through, what was the second one? You know, I read some of the movie miniseries and the animated miniseries, but I haven't really kept up too much with the G1 comics. So I think that's the only reason I really liked it, because I didn't realize it was just getting glossed over that heavily.
Okay. Also, they released the ongoing series, the first issue. I haven't picked it up. I don't have a comic shop locally, so I'll have to obtain that somehow. But
I have it.
You have it?
I haven't read it yet, but I picked it up today, and just it turned out to be a busier day than I thought. So
but you
I
can't
had
verify
a
that it is in fact a comic book.
Yeah, it is a comic book.
It has two different covers. Surprise!
Front and back.
Well, no. There's an alternate cover with Prime doing something.
Oh, I thought one of the covers was the front and one was back.
Yeah, that's like one of them. The other one's just like your standard Prime's doing something on the back, so I can add for Twizzlers or something.
I read the preview pages for that were posted. Anybody else see those?
I did. Yeah. I was not impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it. I mean, other than the Gundams, it was sort of, you know, it was like, it might be interesting. It just depends on where it goes.
I honestly expect more from official fiction than I do from fan fiction. And it really read like some sort of fanfic that I would have written in 1997.
Fair enough.
That's funny. That's the willing. Same way I felt about Star Trek Nemesis.
Yeah, it, sort of.
Yeah, I could see that.
Freeway Jazz came out, as well as Transformers Animated New Sound Wave, but they're calling it Electrostatic Sound Wave.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about anyway.
Yeah, who cares about Electrostatic Sound Wave? He has totally Transformers Animated New Sound Wave.
Yeah.
And he has Rat Bat.
I mean, because he's even Sound Wave rebuilt with parts and then other parts. I mean,
yes. He's.
I mean, it's exactly what he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So... I don't know anything about Freeway Jazz. When I see it, I'm not even going to bother with it. He's a good toy, but I don't care. As crappy a toy as Soundwave is, and I hate that toy, I'm going to buy that because he's
new Soundwave.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. New Soundwave or Electrostatic Soundwave is he's the best. He's one of the better ways to do a repaint, and Freeway Jazz is one of the worst ways.
Well, yeah, it's just animated Jazz in movie colors.
Right, just, you know, just kind of a throwaway repaint. But yeah. Soundwave is completely different, or he's a much better way of going about it.
Couldn't they just rename the Jazz toy something else with a name they already have, or is there more to it than that?
Oh, really? If Mondo were here, I would ask him what the name of Jazz was in Five Faces of Darkness Part 1. I don't remember it off the top of my head. But that's what I would do. I would rename him into whatever his name was, Seti Alpha 6 or whatever his name was, to go to Star Trek, sorry. Okay, let's see here. Trent Troop had another story published in the Transformers Collectors Club newsletter, not just the newsletter, but on the web, which is Blitzwing Bop. I haven't read it yet, but it's a story about Blitzwing in the Shattered Glass universe. Correct?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it. I've also heard that it's a comic, but no, it's a prose story.
Yeah, it's prose, but it's a comical prose story.
So it's fair if a website called it, you know. Okay, and also Rob's mom makes awesome grilled cheese sandwiches.
Yeah, yes. I knew that.
Sorry, someone wrote that in the show notes. I just have to assume it's Rob.
Once again, you read everything that's put in front of you.
Yes, I do.
I don't know why we don't abuse them.
You should.
We're starting to, I think.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, I have made so many mistakes. You know, not really mistakes, but I have translated many text mistakes to audio over the years, working in radio.
And my tiny nipples went to France.
Yes. Okay, so let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back here in a moment after turning reviews. More of Transformers Animated.
Hi, this is Joe Ibe, also known as FX, and also known as the Metal Hawk Guy, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
Hello and welcome to Turin's reviews of Transformers Animated. I just watched episode 4 of season 1, Home is Where the Spark Is. I gave a rave review to the first 3 episodes, which form the introduction movie. I was optimistic that the series would continue to impress me, and it does. We open with a Green Arrow ripoff robbing an armored car. Optimus captures him, then lets him escape, just so that we can see his fancy axe work and firing bolos out of his wrist power. Unfortunately, that results in the villain having time to blow up someone's car, so maybe next time, once Prime has hold of a bad guy, he should just keep hold of him. We find that Prowl has taken to the organic life on Earth and likes to meditate amongst it. Now, this actually makes sense. To a rational Cybertronian, organic life should be a thing of wonder precisely because they do not understand it or have experience with it. The Decepticons, however... and I'm referring to G1 here because we have hardly had any Decepticon characterization as of yet in this show, have massive egos and cannot accept things that are beyond their comprehension. Instead of learning about organic life and increasing their fund of knowledge, they choose to assume it's inferior and of no account. Thus, in an attempt to hide their weaknesses, even from themselves, they only serve to make it all the more apparent. How ironic. Back to the show at hand, Prowl is harassed by paparazzi, and so he flees back to the Autobots' secret lair, which they were given by Sari in the previous episode. And here's Bumblebee. I said last time how pleased I was that they didn't make him annoying. Well, I now have to eat those words. He was incredibly tiresome in this episode. Just a real punk. Especially to Prowl, and with no provocation. I hope that this theme doesn't continue. Next, we've got a scene with Sari and her magic key, which, as you recall, was used last episode to resurrect Optimus Prime from the dead in a genuine Deus Ex Machina. Haha. Here she uses it to enter her dad's forbidden workshop, but a side effect is that it resurrects Megatron's head. Can I just say that Megatron sounds awesome? The voice work here is really first rate. He sounds very scary, and he's just a head on a shelf. Imagine once he gets his body back, which I assume that he will. He already knows the Starscream betrayed him. I guess he's hooked up into a news feed, which actually makes him really dangerous, because he's going to have information that nobody knows that he has. He uses his limited manipulative tools to make a spy bot, which hitchhikes with Sari off to the Autobots' secret lair. So Sari is having, get this, a slumber party with the Autobots. Bumblebee is a jerk to Prowl some more, and then we're treated to the best comedy gag of the episode, Bulkhead trying to fit into Sari's sleeping bag. Amazingly, it doesn't get damaged, but that's obviously because in the animated universe, the humans have some pretty awesome technology stolen from Megatron. Megatron uses his spybot to activate machinery in their lair to try and kill the Autobots. Personally, I would have tried to do a bit more recon, but he's an impulsive guy. The thing I like about this show so far is that the Autobots are actually kind of losers when it comes to fighting. They aren't warriors. They barely stood up to one Decepticon in the previous three episodes. So they are going to need to improve before they can get some harder-hitting villains. This is a good thing, however, because it means that there is room for growth. Here they make a rather pitiful showing against Earth technology, although, to be fair, it's probably based off of Cybertronian tech. Only Prowl has the brains to figure out that the machinery is using motion sensors. Unfortunately for him, he doesn't know about Megatron, so it ends up being up to Bumblebee to save the day. Best line of the episode goes to Bulkhead. When Prowl says that Bumblebee must use stillness, he says, "From Bumblebee, we're dead." Still, Bumblebee manages, and the rather unimpressive menace is over. Megatron's spybot gets captured, but Bulkhead accidentally scraps it. Whoops. Megatron vows revenge and plans on manipulating Sari's dad, presumably to get his own body. Dun-dun-dun. Overall, this was a good episode as far as character development goes, and since I'm kind of an old fogey, I like that in a show. The action wasn't the most exciting that there's been, but I really don't mind. It's probably not an episode to single out to go back and rewatch, but as part of the series, it fits in just fine. My favorite parts so far are all the scenes with Megatron. He's just so ominous. I hope that he maintains his coolness. See you next time.
Power Masters are here. Amazing new Transformers called Power Masters.
Their engine's the key that unlocks their Transformer energy.
Incredible Power Masters. They only transform when their Nebulon becomes their engine.
Power Masters Transformers!
Decepticon Power Masters transform!
And the Decepticons unlock their Transformer energy.
Power Masters Transformers! They've got the power! It's your life!
Thank you, Turin. Okay, we have dueling this day in Transformers history coming up. One from 1985 and one from 1993. Guys, you just go ahead and fight over it.
Yeah.
What?
This fight sucks. Come on.
I mean, okay, so here's the deal, right? Do you want something that's Transformers related or not? If you would like a history information that is
he's
Transformers
good.
Related, 1985 was the premiere of the show, of the series episode The Girl Who Loves Power Glide. Of note, because it was a really odd story that depicted a girl that was really in love with a Transformer, which is sort of like loving your toaster, but whatever.
Well, that worked out pretty well for Megatron, didn't it?
But yeah, and it was also one of the first episodes that really It was like one of the first or only that. I mean, they did a whole series of episodes that focused on a particular character that was new for the season two, and that was kind of his focus one for that. I liked Paraglide. I thought Paraglide was kind of interesting.
Sea Spray.
Well, you know, yeah, and then there's Sea Spray. Some people enjoyed him.
The funny thing about the girl who loved Paraglide, they didn't use that character as the basis for anybody in Kiss Player. Which seems like it would have been an obvious choice.
Yes, that's wasted potential.
Exactly. I mean, they went to all of these other characters, but yeah, that would have been genius. Like, that is obvious, but no, alas, not, because she.
Well, leave it to Japan to completely miss the point.
Yeah.
As they have their kiddie porn.
God. Yeah. Oh, we should have a whole show on just that. Anyway,
I remember the first time I found out about Kiss Player. I was in M. Cypher's car, and we were driving to Arby's, and he started telling me, and this was a period when I was kind of out of Transformers, and he was telling me about Kiss Players, and I'm like, dude, you are lying. No. Found out later. And no.
What's worse is, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, well, it's misunderstood, or it's one of those things where you're like, it's not something where it's like, if you explain it, it gets better, where you're like, oh, well, that makes sense. I understand. The more you explain it, the worse it gets. It's like a train wreck. It's more horrible. You're just like, I can't believe that they actually produced these products. So, yeah.
And if you explain it, someone looks at you and they're like, you have it, don't you?
Yeah, then they think you're like a freaking freak or something. You know, it's... And what's sad is there's probably people, and maybe some of them are listening to the show, and they're huddled in a corner with their little Kiss Player, and they're like, no, these are so wonderful. Look at the skirt. But it's like, no, this is wrong. Please
well,
put
now,
that away.
Marissa didn't even have a skirt.
You know, so, yeah. So, mm-hmm.
See? You know from personal experience, huh? You have it, don't you?
You no. Can't like, afford that crap.
Yeah. Really,
yeah, what are we, rich and perverted?
Yeah.
I think not.
The other, please.
Yeah. Certainly not rich.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Okay, XB. XB. I
well,
like yours
see,
better.
Yeah, the item I preferred for this day in Transformers history doesn't...
It's not your it's not your segment. It's really JD's segment, but I like your idea better.
Oh. It doesn't officially relate to Transformers, but... on November 20th, 1993, the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode featuring Alien from L.A. aired, giving the world, and especially the Transformers fandom, the wonderful term, Dull Surprise. Now, for any who aren't familiar with that, Dull Surprise was a catchphrase that quickly grew and spread among the fandom as a description for the typical shocked, surprised facial expression. Especially drawn by Pat Lee.
Oh my god!
Oh, I hate Pat Lee's art so much.
You don't like pelvic thrusts and impossible proportions?
No, I really don't. I was thinking. So I was
perspective issues too.
I was thinking of Pat Lee on the way home today. I don't obsess over it, but I was reading his wiki entry today, for no apparent reason. Just because I wanted to get the pronunciation.
You were reading a wiki entry in the car?
On the way, well, before I left work.
Oh.
I was wanting to get the pronunciation of his name, not the fake name, not the real name, the
Tei Funana.
Yeah. How do you say the first name?
Michiyami no Tei.
Michiyami no Tei Funana. That's so great.
I believe that's all of it.
Oh. Yeah. I've had so much entertainment over the years. Due to Pat Lee and his, you know, dickery. Okay, go ahead. Finish your this day in history. Sorry.
No, I think I said it all, didn't I?
Okay.
Dull Surprise, one of Pat Lee.
And then how? So relate it back there. Like, give us an example. I mean, where does where we see this sort of art?
Okay. What the last issue? The last page of issue 2. I think Megatron's face.
Yeah.
Is it issue 2 where Megatron has this look? He's supposed to be in awe, but instead his mouth is, you know, wide open. And
well,
his
the main example the wiki uses for this is the one panel of Lazarus as Megatron is waking up from his supposed controlled state in the first G1 miniseries.
Show notes. I'll put a picture in the show notes.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
He's alive.
You know, and I remember back when that issue of Wizard, which is 111, when they had the 80s revival piece, and Pat Lee, you know, was suggested to draw the Transformers. And I remember everyone talking about how awesome that looked. And I'll admit, you know, one panel looked pretty good, especially considering, you know, we hadn't had a Transformers comic since... I guess Blackthorn, or whatever did the last... I think Blackthorn was late. It was late 80s, and of course we had G2.
One panel was different from 47 books.
Yeah, and he did so little art in anything. I mean, he...
But his name is all over it. What are you talking about?
His name's on everything but the checks.
What checks?
Oh. Exactly. You know, I don't know how many of our listeners... I assume that our listeners are like Transformers fans who have been in the fandom as long as we have and who know all the crap that's going on. But I assume that, but it's also why I want to do a segment on things like the RTM1 dubs and so on and so forth, because I don't want to necessarily preach to the choir. I also want to give information. We need to do an episode on just how much Pat Lee screwed over the fans and his employees and his contracted labor.
I love it.
Yes. Yeah. We need to get someone on to talk about that. I know there are people who have been burned by Pat Lee that we could get on this show.
Yeah, I'm sure we could come up with a few names.
Yeah, that I'm penciling that in into our... We have a long list. If you ever worry about us not having content, we have like 3 years worth of shows to work on. It's just finding the time to do them. So, pencil that in to the list of shows.
Done.
So, but yeah. I would love to get Pat Lee on to tell his side of the story, but he's in Hong Kong now, you know.
Yeah, that'd be a little bit of a trick.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's really working hard sewing that underwear together.
But Dull Surprise has even carried over to the toys, or the unofficial toys, XV. Tell us more.
Oh my god.
Okay, so this week, after over a month of waiting for the set to come into stock, I finally got my upgrade kit for the City Commander upgrade kit. JD, didn't you have a blog post about that recently? Upgrading the upgrade kits?
Well, yeah. Now, you're talking about... This is the Fans Project add-on,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, not the Singapore Message Board exclusive one.
Yeah, now the iGear. Yeah, there's an iGear add-on that's coming out as well. But yeah, that's a different one.
Right. But yeah, what it really is, though, is that after a year since the original City Commander came out, Fans Project is re-releasing it with a few new accessories. And for all the owners of the original release, they're also selling the new parts as a kit all by themselves. Because I guess they don't really want to screw over their audience. So what this is, for between $11 and $13 pre-shipping, depending where you get it, it's a pair of non-functioning missile launchers with 4 missiles, a transformable rifle, and 3 extra faceplates. I guess we'll start there since Brian's already kind of led us down that path.
You're welcome.
I would have got around to it eventually. What it is, there's only 2... really new faceplates in the set. The third is just a paint variation of the original faceplate. One is meant to look like Ultra Magnus's, the cab robot's faceplate, for reasons that are completely beyond me to understand. The other one is based on the design of the City Commander head, except the mouth is hanging open in what I can only describe as an expression of dull surprise.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I had a little too much fun with that. Switching the faces is not the easiest thing to do with the original City Commander. What it seems like they've done is for every subsequent version of the trailer set, they actually molded the faceplate the tiniest bit more narrow so it can slide out easier. For the original one, you actually have to get like a pair of pliers and yank on it until it comes out, which will leave marks on the paint and plastic. Yeah, I'm probably not going to switch the faces very often. So I have these three little easily lost pieces just floating around. Good planning. The missile launchers, although new to the City Commander set, are not original to this release. They actually came first with the TFCon exclusive Powered Commander, and then the slightly modified, how would you say that, Dia Commander? The one they released for the Japanese market that works with the Henke Optimus with chrome.
I don't know.
Oh, what did they call that one?
Version 5000?
Yeah, I can't remember what they called that one. It did have a name, though.
Ripoff?
Well, I mean, it's not my thing. If there was a blue Optimus, you know, that'd be different because it'd be more in the spirit of the original Powered Convoy. But anyway, yeah, the missile launchers, they don't have springs, and there's no buttons or any mechanism to make the missiles launch. But the missiles are removable, I imagine, for ease of production. They're fully compatible with the original City Commander trailer. They just plug into existing holes on the shoulders, and they can also tab into the front corners of the trailer mode. But I wouldn't really call those the star of the show, even though reproduction Ultra Magnus missile launchers have been one of the most popular items since City Commander came out originally, because it was like the one major detail they left off the trailer in the first place. What really got my attention with this was the rifle, which it's styled similarly to the G1 Ultra Magnus rifle. But instead of having a peg on the top and a peg on the bottom where you just flip it over from one mode to the other, this actually transforms and has a very simple form of automorph. If you take the stock of the rifle, which is hinged, and fold it down, it pushes on what I guess would be the handguard for the rifle, and it pushes it forward, extending out the barrel and flipping out another handle. And in that mode, it can be used for the inner robot Ultra Magnus. Yeah, I thought it was cool that they made it geared so it would do it almost automatically. The only drawback is that when going back to the other mode, you have to flip the stock of the rifle back up into its original position. Otherwise, it locks it all together. But, I mean, just for it to do any of it automatically like that is really... really catches my eye. Well, even right now, I'm sitting here flipping this back and forth from one mode to the other.
How much was the upgrade kit, XV?
I paid like $12 for it before shipping. It ended up working out to almost $20 shipped.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, I think it is. If you've got the trailer already and you haven't bought like reproduction missile launchers from someone, I think it's a good thing to get to like put that last detail into the trailer. Plus, now you get a weapon specifically for City Commander that the toy can actually hold up, unlike the massive trailer cannon.
How much did you pay for City Commander for the City Commander trailer?
I think the first one was about $75.
So wow. Yeah, I mean,
and now the re-release is going for close to $90, I think.
I've never played with the City Commander set, nor have I really. I've never looked at it in person. But I mean, while it's kind of nifty that they were able to do that and engineer it so well, the model is just a little too, I don't know, anime looking for me.
A little off, too far from the original.
Yeah, it just seems to sort of clash with the aesthetic of Transformers classics design.
I think it
seems to fit because it seems like a modern reimagining of the original trailer armor, which is basically what Classics was all about.
Yeah, just I don't know. Maybe the lines just seem to sort of stick out.
Yeah, yeah. Classics is a little more understated, I guess, so to speak. In their modernization, it's not quite as, it doesn't have that much flair.
Yeah, this is way flashier.
I liked it when I played with it. I'm just, you know, that price, it was hard for me to swallow. Not to mention, it's just, I kind of just like White Cab Ultra Magnus, to be truthful.
I don't know. I'm kind of tired of them, you know, Optimus Prime being repainted as Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, it's lazy.
When we were young, we were kind of dumb, and it didn't really matter. I mean, nobody ever played with Ultra Magnus. Well, that's not true. You weren't supposed to play with Ultra Magnus in the robot mode. You're only supposed to play with him, you know, as the city commander.
And it's different, too, when it's the first one. You know, but then when you go years and years, and it just keeps happening over and over again. I mean, there's Masterpiece Ultra Magnus.
Yeah, the first time Ultra Magnus was actually used in fiction, where he was the clone of Optimus Prime or the white version, was that was in the Dreamwave comic, wasn't it? They never used.
Oh.
And I just remember looking at that. Yeah, I was like, that is so silly looking.
He just pretty much stood there, and I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Surprise, Rob.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Ultra Magnus in Transformers Animated, and I love the fact that he is not a clone of Optimus Prime, or you know, or a copy or a duplicate of Optimus Prime. I like
How do you feel about Robots in Disguise Ultra Magnus?
Yeah,
he was his own toy too.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, he had everything. He had everything I didn't like about the, you know, the original Diaclone toy. But nothing that I liked about the new aesthetic. So, the powered convoy toy. He kind of sucks.
Yeah,
I like the Spy Changer.
Well, yeah, the Spy Changer was a better transformer than the big Ultra Magnus.
That's true. Rob, what were you saying?
Take it apart.
I was saying Ultra Magnus pretty much is every wrong thing Robots in Disguise is that toy. It's like overcomplicated transformation, too many parts to lose. It looks great, but is it a good toy?
Wait, where does it look great?
When he's combined with Optimus Prime, he looks imposing.
Yeah, it's a style over substance.
Yeah, I mean, if that were a toy that wasn't combined, I mean, Ultra Magnus is basically made to combine with Optimus Prime, and he does look good. It's just the actual toy itself suffers. It's kind of like a God Bomber.
I was just thinking, if you repainted him, he'd look just like him.
Yeah. Okay. So, any final thoughts, XV, on City Commander, the upgrade kit?
If you got the original trailer, get it. And if you don't, the new re-release is not a bad idea if you're after a big, expensive thing that does very little.
Yeah, if you've already invested the $75, $80 in getting it, I don't see any reason not to. Because, I mean, looking at the pictures, it does make yours look better. It does.
Well, and you can't live without that dull surprise face.
But in props to them, too, right? Because this totally would have been an opportunity for them to be like, yeah, if you want the new parts, you got to buy the new version.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can totally tell that they are out to give the fans stuff. I mean, it's not like they're out to make as much money as they possibly can with this. Because it would have been easier for them to be
although
jerks
that's a nice,
about it.
Right, but that's a nice side effect, too.
it doesn't escape anyone that they are making some money selling these separate kits. But, I mean, they could have just as easily only had the new parts in with the trailer re-release. And I'm sure some people would have bought that, too, who already had the original. Not me, mind you, but some people.
Cool.
I never had that much money in that little sense, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and take a quick break. We'll visit with Turin again as he talks about AI.
Radio Free Cybertron Superior. Other programs inferior.
Hello, and welcome to Turin's Movie Reviews. I recently watched for the first time the film AI, Artificial Intelligence, starring Jack Angel as Teddy. Jack Angel, of course, is best known for providing the voices of Ultra Magnus and Cyclonus in Season 3 of Transformers G1. My main piece of advice is that if you do not have kids, go ahead and watch this film now. If you haven't seen it and you do have kids, do not watch it unless you want some of the most intense and awful parental angst ever. It's about a robot child named David. He doesn't transform, but he is the first robot program to love. He imprints on a woman whom he thereafter calls Mommy. She is all that he loves and the only thing he desires. However, he is not considered by anyone, even himself, to be a real child. This is not a happy movie. I saw it a week ago and I can still feel the punch in the gut. What makes a child real? What is the human responsibility toward our creations? What is a parent's duty to a child? What would it be like to have a child that never grew any older? My thoughts turn to my own daughter. She's still a baby now, but soon she will not be, and then she never will be again. That is immensely sad to me, and yet I would not change it. Having a child that never ages is, to me, the truly artificial thing, more so than the wires and circuits. And if those thoughts don't keep you awake at night, then Teddy will. There should be a special award at Jack Angel for playing the creepiest teddy bear I have ever seen. Also, Haley Joel Osment, who played Matt on the Jeff Foxworthy Show, is in the film too.
Earlier this evening, the guys and I sat down and talked with Monzo of the TF Wiki and the Obscure Transformers website. You may know him from the side of your Onslaught Transformers Universe toy. It's his name and his birthday right there. Monzo is going to be coming on starting next week with a new segment called Stump Monzo, We Bet That You Can't. So send your questions in, the hardest ones you can come up with, to
Transformers-related, preferably.
Yeah, Transformers-related. We don't want to know, you know, questions about anything else. But to, I guess, stumpmonzo at tfradio.net, S-T-U-M-P-M-O-N-Z-O at tfradio.net, or, heck, you can send us a message at stumpmonzo on Twitter. And we will get him to answer your questions. You can send a text, or you can record it, and we'll see what you can do if you can stump Monzo. Oh, Rob, you're crazy. So I'm.
But you didn't read that out loud.
Yeah, I did not read that out loud. Rob asked Monzo, "Why do I fart so much when I eat cheese?" See, that's an example of a question not to ask.
Why do I fart so much when I eat cheese?
But if you wanted to know, you know, who the headmaster partner was for Weird Wolf, I mean, who is that? It's Monzo.
These fish oil capsules make me burp.
Yeah. Oh, God. Thank you for that image. yeah, we sat down and talked with Monzo just to give you an idea of who he is. But get those questions to us, stumpmonzo at tfradio.net or at stumpmonzo on Twitter. With us, we have Monzo, the famous Monzo from the Transformers Wiki, as well as the side of Onslaught from Universe, and apparently also the you're referenced in the tech spec of Acid Storm. Is that correct?
That's correct, and I was told that he was supposed to be based on me.
Reading it, I totally get that. I can see how that is, except for the Decepticon part.
Well, it's nice to get a reference anywhere, I suppose. And it was nice of them to do it at all.
Yes, absolutely. So, Monzo, tell us about yourself.
Okay. Well, I was a fan of Transformers for... Well, I was not quite in the proper age range when it came out originally. In 1984, I was 2. So, I got into it from a handful of toys I had when I was younger, one of which was Weird Wolf, which I remembered specifically, and that's where I ended up taking my online nickname from.
Again, yeah, no, now you see, our listeners, there's no way that they know this. Monzo and I go way back, basically through BotCon. I think, when was your first BotCon, Monzo?
Mine would have been 1996,
okay,
the one run by Men in Black and Dennis Parker.
And
the,
I think
the infamous BotCon.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, that was good. Yes, yes. And so, I've been going to BotCon since 2000, and so every time I'm there, Monzo and I always hang out a little bit in our group, and have fun. And so that's how I know Monzo. Now, this is a question that I've never asked you because we've never really – actually, I've never interviewed you formally before. But I was going to ask you, you know, you have all this – knowledge about Transformers, and you're the type of person that I wish I was, because when I tell people I'm into Transformers, I think there's an expectation in their head that I have all this stuff, you know, in my swimming around in my head, and so I have all sorts of trivia swimming around in my head, but I don't retain it, not nearly as well as some people, especially you. And so I was going to ask, like, at one point did you, I guess, or are you, like, aware that, you know, you know by far, way more than the average fan, and, you know, you've started to apply it to things like the Transformers Wiki? Like, at what point did you become aware, like, hey, I really know a lot of stuff?
Let's see. For the longest time, my interaction with the Transformers fandom was, oddly enough, through Transformers Mushes, you know, those online text-only role-playing games, and just hanging out around Well, there were a whole different bunch of them at the time. I don't know what the scene is nowadays. I kind of gave those up. But I was astounded by how many people on them were playing Transformers characters or world building or things like that, and they didn't know fundamentals from the comics or the cartoon or anything like that. I mean, a lot of the times, the histories that they used, they just made out whole cloth, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but I think it helps to know the actual history to have as a foundation.
Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how, like, you realized, I guess, like, you know, I know a little bit, I've got a little deeper knowledge or a little bit more, a few more details top of mind than the average person.
So would you say that the mushes themselves really helped you? Because in a way, they're like an immersive environment, and I could really see how that could sort of help ingrain that sort of, I guess, not culture exactly, but the world of Transformers. Is that part of it, Monzo?
I think it would be a little of it, at least. I ended up as an administrator once or twice. I don't really remember what all I did, though, since I kind of have a track record of getting distracted about things.
Yeah, for me, I never did the mushes. For me, it was IRC. And I spent, you know, days at a time on IRC, and that's where I really had stuff hammered into me and through Usenet. But, yeah, I never did any of the mushes. We really need to do, like, a mush segment, because that, to me, is, like, even though I was never a part of it, it was always just one of those areas that I knew was, like, such a big part of the Transformers fandom at one point.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, the fascinating thing to me was the Mush people hated the RC people, and the RC people didn't like the Mush people. And I never really understood that.
A lot of people don't like the IRC people, so...
Well, yeah, but you're both in text-only environments for the most part. Although, I do credit being on Mushes for helping me to learn how to type, to be honest. Since, you know, that was my first exposure to the whole text-only environment thing, which honestly is dying out with the advent of MMOs and all of that. And you don't really get the same kind of experience, you know, with the modern internet.
It's sort of like reading a book versus watching a movie, really. You use your imagination a lot more in the text environment.
I could agree to that.
Yeah, the internet was definitely much funner back in the older days than it is now, I think.
Do you still work on the Obscure Transformers website with Jaxis?
Well, Jaxis has more or less given it up. He contributes to the wiki. I think he feels that the wiki has made the page obsolete. For my own self, what I've been doing is working on kind of a print version of it. I've self-published like maybe 20 copies once a year for the past couple of years or so when I do updates of it, and I give them to the guys at BotCon, you know, the Hasbro people, the IDW guys sometimes. I end up giving one to Furman, I think. I never actually heard back from him on that. But with regards to the Hasbro people, at least, one of the groups that I profiled in print version of the Obscure page, which I ended up calling the Obscure Omnibus, it was the Acid Rain group. So it's possible that they went from that profile of the Acid Rain group to, you know, hey, we've got these other guys in these other colors, let's make one.
Monzo and I have crossed paths many a time at BotCon, and one of the things at BotCon they do is a big trivia contest or kind of event, and Monzo is always on the dominating team. So Monzo, is that you know, when they started doing the trivia stuff, is that something that you were asked to do, or was something that you looked at and said, you know what, this was made for me? Like how did you get sucked into basically being a trivia regular at BotCon?
I know the first year that they had it after Fun Publications took over, I don't even know if the wiki was in its existence as such, and nobody went for it then. For the second year of the trivia contest, I think it might have been Chip's idea to get the wiki in on it, but we kind of had to corral people because, you know, as a group, we aren't very organized. So
no kidding.
It was Chip who registered for us for the first year. So it was me and, Christine, who is Scout on the IRC channel. I'm not sure if you've met Christine.
Yeah, I think everyone here has, except for, of course, JD. XV hasn't either.
Okay, so she was on our first team, and I want to say Thylacine Matt was on the team too, but it was pretty much whoever we could get together at the time. I think our roster changed at the convention because we weren't sure who was there or who knew where everyone who wanted to be or whoever we could convince to be on the team was around. The second year, I think we were a little more organized. I don't want to say by much, but we did, well, we won 2 years in a row, so that says something, I guess. Of course, for the 2009 convention, they didn't actually hold a trivia contest, so I don't know if they just think it's not worth do one anymore, or...
They're afraid of you.
Yeah,
so there's
I think
no point in anybody competing when you're around.
Well, they did propose, like, jokingly do... Well, no. Was it Fun Publications or was it someone else? But someone had the idea of doing, like, a version of Win Ben Stein's Money, but with me.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I think the biggest problem might be the scheduling. I mean, for the 2009 show, they did have that big party at Paramount thing, so where would they stick a trivia contest in there?
Well, that, or they could just go ahead and, hey, everybody, we're just going to give this to Monzo. Okay.
Well, I wouldn't be opposed to that, I guess.
That's where you need to be, like, all egotistical. Like, that's right, it's mine.
It's all really just a formality at this point anyway.
Basically. Hey, Monzo, when and how did you find out about the Onslaught toy? I mean, you obviously had to know before you saw it on the shelf, correct?
Let's see. I suspect it's something was up when I got a random email asking me to confirm what my online name and birthday was. But I didn't have any idea what it was for. But later on, I think it was Toy Fair Magazine that had the first photo. No, it wasn't Toy Fair Magazine. It was the fan club newsletter. And I remember looking at the pictures in there, and it was kind of tiny in there, but I looked and pored over it, and there I was, on the side of Onslaught.
That must have been a really weird feeling for you when you first figured that out.
Well, you know, like I said, I had some idea that something was going to happen, but how or when or where, that was a surprise. And apparently, if I'd written back, like, a day earlier, the name would have ended up on Powerglide. So whoever did the deco ended up just adding random numbers into their keyboard instead.
See, you lucked out there.
Yeah, everybody likes Onslaught.
That's one of my most favorite toys from the last few years. In fact, when I'm in the store, and I see that toy sitting there, and I still do occasionally, I'll pick it up and find a random stranger and point to that and say, I know him. But they think I'm crazy when I do that.
And well, the Japanese version of Onslaught has that same deco on it, doesn't it?
The Japanese version? Yes, it does. Which,
So you're immortalized in plastic on both sides of the ocean.
I was kind of surprised they kept it, honestly. Since it doesn't seem like something that, well, makes any sense out of context.
Mm. So speaking of numbers on the site of toys, Monzo, we were talking
earlier. Yeah, what's a little preview of Stump Monzo right now?
Yeah. It was just like hitting me in the head while he was saying that. You know the Universe Overload toy that just came out a few months ago?
The green one, right?
Yeah, the green one. That's like a Scattershot redecoed.
Right.
I was looking at mine, and on one of the guns, it has the initials MDL, and then numbers, which almost look like a birth date, like it's 9/23/75. Do you have any clue what that's in reference to? Because, I mean, you would be the person who would know outside of Hasbro.
Let's see. I've got mine in a little bucket over here, so I can just fish him out.
Yeah, mine's in the basement.
I don't own it.
Yeah, I don't either. I already have one redeco of that toy, and I'm really satisfied with that.
Yeah, same here.
I just want to get Overload because I like the Overload toy, and that was just kind of my way of continuing it, even though it's not the same mold.
And it's not even as good of a toy.
No, I got it on clearance, too, so that also helped.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think it was like 9.
Alright, MDL 82375. Well, it doesn't look like it means anything upside down, which is how they've been doing a lot of them lately.
Oh, what else have they been doing?
Well, the Universe Ratchet has Help Us on it, on his license plate, like from the Andy Wildman cover, issue 72,
yes.
I think. And the Whirl that comes in that two-pack with Bludgeon, the Toys R Us set, when you turn him upside down, his letters and numbers read out Ovalon, which was the name of the mecha that Whirl originally was redecoed from back in the 80s.
Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a pretty obscure reference.
That, I think, was Kide.
But yeah, I would imagine.
He's an obscure guy.
Wow. I mean, my Whirl was the Converter's really tiny knockoff version. So, yeah, I have no clue what his actual name was other than Helicopter Guy.
Monzo, thank you so much for talking with us, and we'll talk with you again next week, hopefully, with the Stomp Monzo segment.
The Decepticons are attacking! Destroy them!
No, wait, it's Quick Switch, Six-Shot Son, and he's on our side!
Determined to make good where his Decepticon father went bad, Quick Switch joins the Autobots.
Quick Switch is faster and tougher!
He's a tank, a plane, a cruiser, a gun, a puma, and a robot!
How quick can you do all six?
Quick Switch, the new ultimate challenge!
Okay, we're going to roll Twitter Theater into our discussion because we basically did last week. What was the episode? The Resurrected Billy Against the Decepticons, which is where in the original Japanese episode, what is Operation Cassette Robot or whatever it is from Headmasters, Twin Cast debuts. Well, in this, Billy debuts. As well, instead of Sound Blaster, we get New Sound Wave. So this is one of my favorite episodes from the dubs. The dubs are a beautiful thing. XV, you finally, for the first time, watched the dubs last week. What did you think?
Of it, yeah. It was a dub.
Were you expecting that? I mean, were you expecting them to be as bad as they were?
What I wasn't expecting was them using the wrong opening sequence.
Yeah.
Wrong theme song.
Yeah, they used the V, Victory. I'm mixing my memes. they used the Victory intro. And I think Sunbow, they did their version of the Omni or the RTM1 dubs, I think they all use the Sunbow intro with a stamped Transformers logo over it. I've never seen that. I just read that on the wiki today. But, I mean, yeah, I'm personally a huge fan of the dubs. I mean, it's not because the storytelling is anything remotely approaching good.
Or coherent.
Or not because the... I really can't say that the dub itself, the translation, isn't accurate, because other than the names and some of the words, it's not like we're talking about Headmasters and Master Force and Victory being, you know, Shakespeare. Rob posted to Facebook the segment where, Chrome Dome sings karaoke. Chrome Dome dances, Hardhead sings karaoke, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hardhead is singing karaoke, and Chrome Dome and RC dance, and then Daniel stares, you know, vacantly into the screen. Dull surprise.
It's really good.
One of my favorite bits is it's from this.
Meanwhile, Sparkle.
Sparkle is Spike.
Father,
Benny, I'm proud of you, my son. You've shown me how strong you are.
Father.
Benny, listen. If anything ever happens to me, you'll have to be strong. You hear?
Father, you'll be okay, I'm sure.
You'll have to be strong. For me, Mother, and people on Earth, you'll fight the Decepticons. Okay?
Father!
Danny, boys can cry, but not out loud. Men don't cry. They only get stronger.
I have no idea what the original Japanese says, but it's probably not too far from that.
There's a burp part in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's probably a reasonable explanation or translation of what he says. Now, what you don't know from listening to that is they are currently on Spaceship Bruce, which is the spaceship form of Fortress Maximus. I mean, the show is full of great, misuses of the names. Blur is Wally. Blaster is Billy. Sound Blaster, is New Soundwave, which, we use that. We love that. What else am I missing? Metroplex is Philip. Raiden is the Robot Train.
Don't they call Grimlock someone else? Someone Grimlock?
Oh, there are so many.
It's hard to keep up with.
Hot Rod is Rodimus Prime. Cybertron is Cybertron. I love that. I'm going to just start referring to Cybertron as Cybertron.
Listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. I should have totally used that at the beginning of the show.
You can always fix it in post.
One of my favorites, Genrai, of course, who is a pretender.
He's a power master,
but he runs around as a human. Okay. Genrai is a power master. His human form...
His name is Optimus Prime. But that was Master, not Ed.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you're not hurt at all.
I think it's strange as well.
Talking to Metal Hawk.
I was in pain and I was bleeding too, but now I don't have a scratch on me.
That's good, I'm glad you're okay. Tell me, what's your name?
Optimus Prime. I'm Japanese.
I mean, he's just some dude, no, he's not wearing a suit or anything. He's talking to a guy in a suit because Metal Hawk, is styling. And he says that his name is Optimus Prime.
And he's Japanese.
Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever.
And you're absolutely right. Like, that scene, like, as far as the translation other than the name, that's, pretty much exactly the way it goes. It just sounds really awkward when you throw in the Optimus Prime as opposed to the Genrai, which is more like a conventional name, concerning the whole concept of the Japanese Power Masters.
True. And sometimes they get awkward without even having to use the name incorrectly.
What's happened to the Headmasters? Can't they fight without Chrome Dome? Fortress Maximus has come himself. Okay, then I shall get Fortress Maximus to fight me.
Oh, that is so great. That's probably the most infamous line from all of the dubs. Yeah, I mostly focus on Headmasters because it's the only one I can really stand watching. I mean, from a trans fan scholarly perspective, yeah, I have watched Master Force. I have watched Victory, but I don't get into Victory or Master Force. I honestly could stand watching Zone, the OVA, the one episode, more than I can stand watching Master Force. Let's see here. Do I have anything else I wanted to try?
Optimus Prime one where he says where Hot Rod becomes Rodimus Prime and goes, "It's Optimus Prime and Optimus Rodimus Prime."
Yes. I don't have that. I only have a select few, but I have this.
Darn that sound wave. Billy, you okay? Not really. Find the power pack.
The Matrix. Or Energon Cubes.
Prime, go!
Episode before.
Billy, I promise you, I'll get those dirty scum for you. Cassette robot, I'll leave this to you. Or I keep...
Okay.
which cassette was he talking to? He was talking
with...
Was it Steeljaw?
Yeah, Steeljaw. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, it was Steeljaw. Yeah, no. If it were one of the humanoid cassettes, it wouldn't be so strange. But it was Steeljaw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm dying. Alrighty then.
Are you okay?
Not really. I'm exploding.
I can't
like a CDU. You. Right on.
I couldn't find the clip, but I really wanted to when Galvatron is talking about his grand Galvatron scheme, where he basically makes a giant Galvatron planet. He says to Cyclonus.
Was it Six Shot?
Was it Six Shot?
I think he was talking to Six Shot because that's the whole sequence where he talks about how he's going to have to take apart Six Shot to use his parts to make the Unicron Galvatron.
But they want to go with Unicron, but I don't know that it makes any sense. He says, "And this is Unicorn." And whoever he's with is like, "Whoa!" So
it was just, Six Shot.
Yeah,
it's Six Shot.
Of course, no. Actually, if it was Six Shot, it would be "Whoa!" Because of course, Six Shot has a faceplate. I'm the ninja consultant from Cybertron. We are totally going to take an episode of Transformers Animated and redub it as a RTM1 dub.
Yep. I'm planning to. When I say planning to, as when I get around to actually doing it. Using an episode of Headmaster something and adding my own commentary.
You'll be like Chris McFeely, except for, you know, not on a DVD.
Yes, it'll be just like on YouTube or something.
Dude, that would be fun.
Yes. SOL1 looks a lot like SOL2, doesn't it? All right.
You know, if we ever get around to getting a, what is it, a partner account, you know.
Producer account.
We don't use it enough. We need XV. We need to start using YouTube more.
More webcam videos.
Yeah, we have to start posting more stuff because that's based on quantity. Not necessarily quality. If it was quality.
No, it can't be quality.
Yeah, if it was quality, we wouldn't cut it. But
we wouldn't be able to make it.
Yeah, but with quantity, you know, enough stuff, we could probably get a producer account and actually start doing whole episodes of that stuff, which would be fun.
That'd be good.
Let's see here. I mean, there's really not a lot to go into. There's too much stuff, really, to go into. If we try to dissect the episodes for, you know, the story, we delve into talking about Headmasters, Master Force, and Victory. So, I guess,
if you try to dissect them for the content of the episodes, you miss the whole point.
Exactly.
Because they're crap.
Yeah, it's basically... watching the dubs, it's basically... I would say it's more than a Cliff Notes version of the show, because you really get the gist of what's going on. I mean, even though they call, you know, Minerva Nightbeat in Master Force, you don't lose...
And Walkie Pride.
Yeah. You don't... Yeah, exactly. You don't lose... They should start calling Hotshot Minerva. That would have been great. But, yeah, you just sort of miss the point if you sit down and you watch it and you're trying to watch it because it's Transformers. Yeah, if you try to dissect the content for what it is, you miss the point. It's just fun to watch. And we don't really have to say much more than that. If you don't already have it, get the... If you're in, like, a region 5 or whatever UK is, get the Headmasters DVDs that Maverick Entertainment or whoever it was put out. But if you're not in an area where you can get a legitimate copy, go to Google and just find a torrent for these, because they are totally worth watching. Your non-Transformers friends will even enjoy this because the dubs are so bad.
I showed them to a friend of mine who's something of a Transformers nerd. A bunch of us had met up at Burger King during the whole Cybertron Happy Meal promotion. And he came back to me at my place, and I showed him Headmasters. He heard about them, but he never saw them. And this guy's normally very reserved. Like, when he laughs, it's sort of like a to himself. And this guy's eyes was watering by episode 2.
Yeah.
They're hilarious.
Yeah, they are one of the funnier things that I've ever watched. Okay, so next week, I think we should just wrap the show up, because I don't have anything else to add unless you guys do.
eBay.
Oh, yeah. JD, why don't you tell us about some interesting things you have up for auction?
I'm sort of doing a clearance sale right now. I had a bunch of carded figures that I really have no interest in displaying. Most of the Transformer stuff is already sold. The big, otherwise there's a lot of Star Wars figures. So those who are fans of Star Wars, might check it out for that. But the big item that's up on there right now is the TFCC exclusive Skyfall, which was the first of the series of the combiner set, that they had offered. This item's super nice. I basically left it in the box that I got it in when I got it. It's still sealed in the bag. Pretty much never took it out, never displayed it. So if you want one, there you go. But check it out. The address is on eBay, of course. It's BWAYSTAR, the number 2, and then B. It's actually my wife's account, but there you go. We'll put a link to it up as well. So yeah, appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Hey, we got to monetize somehow. okay. Heck, if I have something up, I'm going to totally plug it. Next week's show, we're going to talk about fan fiction. Hopefully, I'm working out a couple of interviews. I know one is lined up. I'm hoping to hear back on the other. We'll also have, hopefully, the first episode of Stump Monzo. Don't forget, email stumpmonzo@tfradio.net. Or at Twitter, @StumpMonzo. So, and hopefully we will have another special interview next week. Or do we want to do it next week?
Well, we'll do it sometime.
We'll do it sometime.
Well, we hope to have another special interview in the near future.
Yeah, we are working on a couple of really cool interviews. And if we don't have it on next week, we at the very least will tell you about it and then tell you when it will be up. Guys, do we have any closing thoughts?
Well, I have a little bit of a fan project I'd like to share with the listeners.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. XP's in it.
Wait for it.
Actually, this isn't as... well, Rhinox farted, but...
We're kind of past that now.
Yeah. I'm working on a little zine that I'm almost finished with.
Really?
That is a comic lampooning the fandom. I'm almost done with it. It's all fictional, but there's some real-world... references out there. It's all online. I'm planning to make it a PDF and put it up on the site, at least in some way. If not, I'll at least link to the individual comics off of my blog, because I'm doing it all Toonlit, because my drawing is just not great enough to draw a comic for more than a few frames. So I'm just using their character creator tool, where it's like a Lego building blocks with body parts. And yeah, I got a parody of the fandom, while not being a direct parody, just sort of a silly situation starring the fandom with made up characters that I think will be fun for our listeners, if not fun for us at least. Hell,
awesome. I look forward to doing that. I've been involved in some fandom lampooning projects myself, and
really,
yeah, a couple.
I knew that about you.
So, huh. Anything else, guys? Any other projects or anything new going on? Anything on the blog that's relevant to Transformers that you want to talk about?
I have an awesome blog post this week.
Yeah, you do.
I don't know where that pinata is right now, by the way, guys.
Oh, my God. What happened?
I put it somewhere in my basement, and I went looking the other day, and I can't find it. So unless it's in a box that I don't remember putting it in, it might have fell and broken.
Yeah.
Optimus just walked off to try to get some faces.
Yeah.
He wants some face time.
He didn't have enough faces.
I saw a second Optimus Pinata today at Walmart, oddly enough, that I didn't see before. It is totally not as cool as the one I bought.
Cool. Yeah, I've seen two. I didn't pick up either, though I was tempted.
Hey, for $5 on clearance, why the hell not? You know?
Exactly.
I can't even get a basic for that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. And it's sad. Or, you know, scouts are like $8. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, a legend is still more expensive, and the legend's for the poor people. Like, that's the family that can't afford the leader Optimus Prime. Here's a cheaper alternative. I'm not saying it'd be mean, because, hell, how many legends do you have just because you didn't want to pony up the money for the expensive one?
Well, the Classics 2.0, the Universe legends, are pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Shut up.
Almost like them.
Shut up.
Okay, I guess that'll do it for this week. Thank you all for listening. Yeah, I know you do. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, next week, fan fiction as well as Try to Stump Monzo. We bet you can't. Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet radio show online since 1999. Visit us online at www.tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Join in the discussion on our Facebook fan page. Search Facebook for Radio Free Cybertron. Also follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Copyright 2009, Radio Free Cybertron. Till all are one.
One what?